Today's message will focus on the parable that Jesus told concerning the talents, five given to one person, two given to another person, and one given to another. And as we consider those talents, I'd just like to give you a little bit of a insight as to what one talent was in the time of Jesus. It represented 6,000 denarius, which is the currency that they had. So you earned roughly one a day. So in a year, 365 days, say a year you had 300 of them. To get 6,000, you'd need how many years? How's your maths? 20 years. 20 years worth of wages. So today, 20 years of sort of average-ish wages might be, instead of 6,000 denarius, might be $600,000 for one talent. So this story that Jesus told picks up some big amounts given to people, and they were to use them and to invest them and to make the most of them. And as we know, the story tells us that a couple of these chaps invested what was given to them and made some more. One, they both doubled what they were given. But the third person was wicked and lazy and dug a hole in the ground and just gave the amount back again to the master when he returned from his journey. Jesus told this parable to shock his hearers. Jesus' ministry was one, you'll remember, of bringing good news to the world, calling people to change. And his setting out is to change the world and to change it for good, for the better. And in doing that, he employed many of his gifts and talents, and they included healing the sick, raising some young person from a grave, on the way to be buried, a young person he raised from the grave and gave this person back to their mother. We see him, people who were troubled by demonic powers, he gave them enormous calm and peace. Outcasts who were rejected by the community, he went and mixed with them, he incorporated them into his good plan, and the love of God reached people who were rejected for their moral character, and he restored to people a new sense of their life. So he was always and ever about change, but these last three parables, and we're just looking at three serious parables, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, today this parable which is really of the servants, three different types or three servants, and then next week we'll be looking at whether it's a parable or a story, we'll be looking at the sheep and the goats. So Jesus is in the last phase of his ministry before he's to be crucified, before he's to be given up to a horrendous finish to his life. And these are stories they're called eschatological stories. They're looking with a view to hope. They're looking with a view to what's yet to come. And they're important because they are a serious word to people about the future and about their lives now. I'd like to read you, firstly, a passage that I often read at a funeral when we're considering, you know, what we will do with our lives in the light of a person we may have just said goodbye to. Thank the Lord for their life. And then we can stand sometimes beside a grave, and I often say these words from 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter, and chapter 15, verses 51, he's just recounted the wonderful matter of Christ's resurrection and how that affects the whole world, how that affects you and me today. His resurrection power is bearing upon our lives. His death is bearing upon our lives. It is having a fruitful effect. And so, in the light of that, he then concludes this in this way, this moment. He says, listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on the imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, and this is the verse that I really think summarises something of the meaning of the parable today. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling or abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. Your life's work is not pointless. Everything you do is filled with the action and life of Christ. If you belong to him, he has said of you, if you've put your faith and trust in God, in Christ, in his death and resurrection, in his love for you, he's said of you, this is my beloved son or daughter, with you I am already very pleased. You have approval. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He has justified you. You are at peace with God. And that is the great truth of the gospel. By grace you have been saved. And this is the gift of God, not through your works, lest anyone should boast. By grace you've been saved through faith. And his grace towards us is in order that, Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, in order that we might do the good works which have been prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. So Christ has redeemed you. He has given you grace heaped upon grace. He has come in his goodness. He has risen from the grave. His own life is bearing fruit in you. Now, in the light of that, you can probably now hear this parable in a way that those who first heard it were shocked. They were thrown back. They wondered, what about this? Listen to the last verse of this parable. The last verse concludes that this lazy, this worthless person had not done anything with what the master had given. And this is what we read. As for this worthless slave, throw him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, gnashing of teeth, if you are a person of remorse, Jesus came into the world that we might repent, that is, gladly change and be part of God's plan. Get on board. be investing in our lives in this life now with a great view to all that's yet to come, to be people of eternity, to have as human beings our lives changed in relationship to God, to be true sons and daughters already. But gnashing of teeth is, there's a saying that you can be repentant, that's good, turning to God, or you can be remorseful. A morsel is something you bite, you eat a morsel. And to keep biting it again is to remorse, to re-bite again. So it is this weeping, it is this grief, it is this biting again and being somehow weeping for loss of life, for loss of opportunity, for a waste, really. So this worthless slave was thrown out, and that's the shock. That's the shock. Jesus has told a parable, the 10 bridesmaids, and the point from that is to be ready. This second parable is to teach us how to be ready. How do you go about being ready? And they're all with a view to the coming of Christ. We'll be celebrating Advent soon and leading up to Christmas, and last night was the pageant, and everyone's already, do you know, thrilled and celebrating Christmas, aren't they? They're not. They're thinking, oh, how many more adverts do we have to have from here? Well, the true season is to celebrate. You've got a whole month ahead to celebrate the coming of Christ, to anticipate his first initial coming, his incarnation, and to think about his coming appearing as well. Some of the readings will be what we call eschatological. They're looking to the coming of the risen Christ to finish what is began in this world. So that's the lines of our thinking. That's the lines of our message. We're calling people to believe this is true. It is totally true. It is what the world is about. And Jesus came into the world not just to give an example of how to love. He came in the world to change it, to make the world a different place. Nations will stand before him. Nations are to respond to him. And so this one has come, and when he tells a parable, if it shocks, which it would have, if it had some strange bits and pieces in it, it was with a view to him having us listen, having us focus and think, what is this about? So what is it about? Well, it's about a person making the most of what God has given to you. When we were in Tasmania, I had a family, particularly Lynn and I had a family that we made very good friends with through the girls playing netball there. And I coached some football there with the chap and so on. But while I was in Tassie, I had the privilege of burying both his mum and his dad. They were older people. He was the youngest. And he always used to say that after that many children, they'd finally reached perfection. So they stopped breeding when they reached him. So anyway, he was the youngest. But one of his brothers, Warren's brothers, was named of Dennis. And Dennis was born with an intellectual disability. He worked in a workshop over in Devonport. People knew him from around the town because he used to follow the footy at Devonport. And he used to be quite a character. You couldn't understand him very easily. His speech, because of his intellectual disability, when he talked, it was loud, but you had to kind of... I used to look sometimes at Warren and say, what did Dennis say? The family knew. They'd been listening and learnt his language and so on for a long time. Well, Dennis, when his mum died and when his dad died, Dennis came to the graveside and stood there with us as we said goodbye. I read that reading, and Dennis looked at me and he said, can I say something? I said, yes, Dennis, go. Dennis raised his hand and he made a speech, a family speech, We struggled mostly to understand all the words, but we knew what he was saying. We knew he was there to honour his dad. We knew he knew he was loved by his dad. He was loved by his family, and this was an important moment as we said goodbye, as we said thank you. And we knew that whether we'd been given a bulk of talents or less talents, and or even our talents, we had difficulties exercising the gifts that God had given us to us, that they were important. Whatever I spoke on that day, Dennis had the last word. Dennis's sermon was memorable because he stood and he spoke and he honoured life. Friends, you and I have been given many talents to use. Some of you are very fine speakers and you're able to communicate with others the truth of the gospel. You are able to do that. You should do that. Many others of you are fine musicians. God has equipped you to play beautiful music. He's done that in order to be a blessing to others. You should use your talents. Many others are fantastic cooks and great artists, and others have abilities to bless the human race. God is calling you to exercise the gifts and the talents to share in his mission, to communicate the truth of this wonderful world. Some of you are gun farmers. You are just great at farming, and that is to bring blessing into this world. Some of you have had more rain on your hay than you wanted. I heard that someone's baling up camel beds this year. The rain so affected it. But whatever your talent, whatever your gift, whatever God has given you, it is in order that you might share in his mission. And so Jesus tells this parable, and we hear these words. They're often used at the close of someone's life. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That can be said of you. And I hope if you have a person of faith, that's what will be said of you. And I said this morning, the earlier service, I'll be happy if with my latest breath I can point someone to Christ. If I can say with steely eye as I'm about to leave this place, if I get a chance and my grandchildren visit me, to look them in the eye and say, are you following the Lord yet? You're still mucking around, or are you following the Lord? Here's a young man, he's already following the Lord. Oh, yeah. He's part of this great family. He's on the way. He's involved in the great things of life. And all of us are called to use everything that God has given to us. In fact, I enjoy this young man's life so much more than my sermon. I just enjoy just kind of watching it here. Anyway, God has called me to do this, so let me concentrate on this. Oh, he's a dear boy. There you are. Good on you, Meshach. Where did I get to? Okay, the serious bit. Jesus tells this story, and the last guy, it's a shock. The others have got well done, but this other guy has gone and hid his talent. It was a common thing. In Judaism, in those era, you didn't make a lot of money on interest. The only place you gave your money to and earned interest was giving your money to foreigners, and they were to return it with interest, but not so much interest there, but to invest and to make good use of it. Do you remember when Malcolm Fraser, our Prime Minister, said what you should do with your money? Put it under your mattress, he said. It's about the same as this. The banks weren't obviously being too kind, so he said the safest place for it's probably under your bed. Anyway, none of you remember. But he said, this guy just didn't do anything with what had been given to him, and he got trapped in a guilt, sin, failure cycle. And so his failures made him guilty. He turned from God, he was guilty. Because he was guilty, he sinned even more, and he went round and round in this cycle. And so he was called a wicked and lazy servant. He was focused on himself instead of hearing God's grace to him. Your sins are forgiven. Come out, join the real program of your life. He was trapped round and round and round. And the judgment upon him at the end was very severe. And then he says this interesting thing. He said that, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But the master's not happy with that. If you interpret this parable aright, you will know Jesus is stirring people. What happened to this man? He was, all of his gifts and talents were given to the person who already now had five and now had ten. And he said, give him the extra one. He wants what's been given to be part of the program. But this, to everyone who has will more be given, and he'll have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. There's a loss in not being part of God's world, of participating. Years ago, someone wrote to the paper saying, there's not really any such thing as hell, and we shouldn't teach or talk about that anymore. It's a past thing of the past. Well, me being in my first parish and eager to, didn't have Facebook then, I had to write a letter to the editor, so I wrote a letter to the advertiser, and I said that we should rediscover the life-giving properties of the doctrine of hell. Well, as you can guess, next week the letters came back again. But in other words, we should be shocked that there might be an outer darkness where we miss out, that our lives come to some conclusion and we haven't been part of anything. God is calling us to, yes, forgiveness and mercy. He's telling us that he's made us and gifted us with Christ. He's gifted us with the Son to fill our lives with hope. He has himself born and gone out into outer darkness. He was crucified, cut off from the land of the living, that we might be included. He bore our sin in his body, that we might be forgiven and loved and find ourselves part of an eager life of serving the Lord. That's what he did it for. So that our lives might come together and join his purpose and his fruitfulness. One fruitful life Jesus made the most of in 33 years, and look what happened. The love of God broke out across the nations of the world because he made the most of what God had given to him. You can't justify yourself with the gifts God's given to you. He has already justified you. You can't win God's approval by your service and entering into the service. He has already spoken a word to you. You can be a fruitful servant by hearing his word. Have you heard Christ's word of grace? Your sins are forgiven. Do you believe God's word of grace, that your life is filled with the purpose of Christ, that you are sharing in the mission of God to bring good news to the whole of creation? Do you believe that your life is significant in the changing of this world, that you have a part to play, a share in that? Yes. Oh. And do you believe that is taking place as you share a little word here and there? God has given so much. I read this week about a man, it's called Harvesting the Crop. There's a little group on Facebook, and I was interested to see what the harvesters were doing. And one guy bought an old header for his hobby farm. And he said in the first binful, he's already paid for the header. How about that? A very cheap header, says. But he's making the most of what he's got. And all of us have been given gifts and talents. Another young woman I heard on the radio about, Alana Hill Fashions. Alana left Tasmania as a 16-year-old girl in grief. She'd suffered a huge trauma. She was broken in her life. Her mum farewelled her. She went to Melbourne with nothing. She took 6 cases of costumes because she liked costumes. And she gave herself to try and make something of life well. She developed the brand Alana Hill garments. Anyone got one of her dresses? They're too expensive for you. It must be why. This young girl made something because out of a certain pain, but she gave of the best of her life, and then someone ripped her company off, so she wrote some books instead to tell of her life, and her life is still blessing others in that you can begin and you can be in a place of struggle and of difficulty. Remember one little girl in Tasmania. She was born with not only intellectual disability, she had a massive physical disability, so she spent her life in a chair. She just spent her life in a chair. But God gave her a smile, which was as wide as Bass Strait. And when she had visitors and received them, she was so glad to see them. She smiled with delight and lit up the room, and she lit up the place of care where she was. And when they said goodbye to her, people loved her, and she made the most of her talent. I still remember her. Friends, God has given you many talents. He's given you the grace of God. He's given you abilities to share in his mission and his plan. Dick Smith said the other day that Australians weren't very philanthropic, that we'd forgotten or lost somehow, somewhere. Even our richest people have forgotten what their stuff's been given to them for. And he exhorted people to look to see how they can be a blessing with what God has given you. You may know that in Africa, if you give some money, it does so much more than you could even do for one person here. Let me encourage you to keep giving, just randomly, occasionally. Maybe you think it won't get there, but try and find out somewhere where it will. And you'll be surprised one day when you learn what God has done with your life as you've participated with faith in Christ in him. Let me help you reinterpret this parable. God is not a harsh taskmaster. He's a generous and kind giver. God is not one who simply looks at your guilt and does nothing about it and lets you wallow and stay in it. He forgives you totally, cleanses you fully. His holiness, he gives you his own Holy Spirit and makes you holy. You are totally holy. Do you believe that in Christ? And he's done this so you might live a life unto God, every part of it. It's what we sang at the start. Take my life and let it be consecrated, given over, Lord, to thee. And as you do that, you will find that the blessing of God maketh rich, and toil addeth nothing to it. The old King James said that. The blessing of God is what makes you rich, and the toil doesn't add anything to it. Go in peace today. Be a person who invests well in the future. It is at the doorstep. Christ's coming, appearing is sooner now than when we first believed. And whether you either die or the Lord comes, it's sooner than you think. May the Lord prepare you. May you be prepared, not only watching and waiting and believing, but sharing in that word now. If you want to have some fun in the Lord, be experimental. Go and do a few things. Go and open up the doctrine of hell in the community for a couple of days. See how much fun you have. May the Lord add his blessing to the word of God today. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given to us, life and breath and everything. Thank you for talents and gifts. Thank you mostly for forgiveness, Lord. So many times we've not used the gift you've given and we've sort of lost it. Lord, renew in us, we pray. Redeem the time. Cause us to make the most of the life you've given to us. And Lord, in your mercy, please continue to remember that we are the sinners that you died for. Please continue to lift us and renew us and help us share in the new creation already begun in the risen Jesus. Lord, we pray for our world, people who are lost going round and round. May they be drawn to your story, the story of hope. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.